The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Final score. They scored 28 points in the second half to move away from the Dolphins in a game with Deshaun Watson through 5 touchdowns. And what is he, Bobby Beats, what is he still dealing with, like a collapsed lung, the black plague? What, I mean, 100 other ailments? He, nice job by Deshaun Watson last night.
Yeah, he's dealing with all that, Tony.
What are the other things that Deshaun Watson is dealing with? Broken leg, chipped tooth, let me see, headaches, maybe some migraines. I feel like he's in the infirmary. Yeah, threw 5 touchdown passes. Well done. Well done, Deshaun Watson. Last night, as the Texans have won 5 in a row. I don't know, am I buying now the Texans as they've won their 5th in a row? They looked good, and it was fun last night. And this is one of the things that we keep talking about with these games. All right, some of them are dead, but some of them are really entertaining to watch. I thought last night was really fun. You had some nice throws by Watson. I mean, the Dolphins tried to make it a game early, tried to get into it, but, you know, then the Texans pull away. Lamar Miller ran for 133 yards. He had a touchdown. Will Fuller did leave the game. He was hurt, but he had a nice touchdown catch. But this was Deshaun Watson's show, and this is what, at the beginning of the season, when we looked at all of the things that of all the teams that were coming in, right? And we started saying, all right, look, let's believe in them. Let's not believe in them. I'm not sure about them yet, right? We couldn't see Patrick Mahomes throwing 22 touchdown passes. He's been a nice surprise. But we thought the Rams would be pretty good, as we thought last year, and they are very, very good. But the Texans were the team that I really liked coming in just from an entertainment value. When everybody's healthy, when you have the defense as healthy as it is, when Watson is as healthy as it is, this is what I like. I like when he's able to move, throw on the move, and I don't care what he's dealing with, you know, health-wise. It doesn't show in the game. This is what I envisioned the Texans to be. So when they were off to that 0-3 start, and we thought, this isn't working, this isn't what I thought, now they've won 5 in a row, and now they're starting to find their pace. You look at the amount of offense they have been producing in this 5 win. It is a lot different than the first 3 weeks of the season. And this division, this is Houston's, could take it away. They could start pulling away and take the AFC South. What I thought was going to be the most competitive division could be Houston's going away. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a happy Friday to you here on SB Nation AM. Good morning as we get done with another week. Head into another busy weekend of college football, NFL football, World Series, and the NBA early in the season if you're into that now and don't want to just wake up in March when you want to find out how the playoff roster looks. Last night, the Texans win. They have now won five in a row and looked good doing it. I was saying at the start of the show that this is an entertaining football team. This is what I thought was going to be the Texans. I loved watching it. I loved Deshaun Watson running around with his, I don't know, collapsed lung, as I mentioned. What has he got? What is his official ailment, Ron? What's his official, like he has a bruise in his chest?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, that's it. I mean, the one that required him not to fly? I mean, I'm kidding around with the collapsed lung. I mean, he just has a bruise in his chest, but
I love the fact that they were bringing it up yesterday, too.
Yeah, I know, right?
Here's the map of how he drove.
Oh, God. Became like the side story. But he looked really great. I enjoyed watching that because I enjoyed watching it last season, and I've been watching the Texans the last couple of weeks, and this is the kind of team I kind of envisioned at the part. And I don't know if this is because the Dolphins aren't that good. I get it, but he's got weapons, and the weapons were good last night. DeAndre Hopkins made two touchdown catches. He had the best catch I've ever seen in my life that got called away. That was incredible.
Don't you feel like they should, you know, when they see that, they should like, you know what? Let's just pick that one up.
Yeah, I think so. Like they should go, we got two fouls on the play, defensive holding, offensive pass interference. But because the catch was the most incredible thing I've ever seen, it's just going to be defensive holding and first down. Like, because you want that to count for something. Like, you don't want that to just be a blip off the radar. Like, well, just a highlight that doesn't carry any sort of value. It's just entertaining to watch him catch the ball with one hand, flip it through his leg, pin it against his leg, fall to the ground, keep it from falling to hitting the turf, and making this great catch, and then, nope, it doesn't count.
It would be on the same level of, like, you know, the Beckham Jr. catch.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we said, that one doesn't count. It's like, no, come on. Just allow it.
I mean, I'm amazed at these guys, their ability to catch. I know they talked about the gloves, you know, because they were talking about how the gloves are changing. But I don't care. He could wear a magnet on his hand. That is still the idea that you could catch that with one hand, fall to the ground, and as you're falling in real time, not in slow motion, people, in real time, pin it against your leg to make sure it doesn't touch the ground. Like, I would be a bumbling mess of uncoordination if I had to do that. And he was brilliant. It was such a good catch. Yeah, I showed everybody in the family. I rewound it. Come here, catch, watch this. And then it was for nothing. But still, catch of the year. Might be the catch of the last 5 or 6 years. I don't know. David Tyree's catch is still pretty awesome.
It's the catch since it's the best catch since Odell Beckham Jr.
It's got to be the best catch since Odell Beckham. Yeah.
Man, every single year we have like one of those amazing catches that I can't believe he did that. But this is on a different level.
Yeah, because it's falling backwards and you're trying to keep it from hitting the ground. It's one, like I said, it's one thing to have possession of it, but it's one thing to possession of it as you're falling to be like, and I'm going to make sure it doesn't touch the ground so it counts. That's pretty amazing. It was really great. But it was an entertaining game. And the first few weeks of the season, right? The Texans lost to the Patriots, the Titans, and the Giants, okay? And they scored 20, 17, and 22 points. Since then, 37, 19 against the Cowboys, 20, 20, 42. And their offense is really clicking. It's starting to come around. And have won five in a row in a division I thought would be competitive. It could be the Texans take off. They got a struggling Broncos team on the road. Tough place to play, but still. Washington could be tough. Then they got the Titans, Browns, Colts, and Jets. I mean, this is a team that could win this division and win it going away. And at the beginning of the season, 0-3. Remember we talked about you got to be careful. 0-2, 0-3. You better be careful. You're not going to make the playoffs. A lot of teams don't make the playoffs with this record. No, if you win five in a row, yeah, and you win and you're leading a division, you got a good chance of winning you go into the postseason. So the Texans, I hope they keep it up because they're fun to watch.
Not
they
only really that, are. But if you're leading a division that is as terrible as the AFC South,
exactly.
Where everyone just seems like, you know what? You guys take it. No, you take it.
Why can't I get these predictions right? I was chanting how great the AFC South was going to be. Houston's the most entertaining team. Tennessee's coming off a playoff run. Jacksonville went to the AFC Championship. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. And Andrew Luck's back for the Colts. Blah. Everybody but Houston's terrible. See, I can't get these right. I can't. I do my best, Ron. I do my best.
Don't feel bad. I was looking at somebody's predictions yesterday.
Yeah.
Somebody, was on Twitter, and somebody had, they had pinned their predictions for the, they had pinned their tweet with their predictions.
Right.
They had the Chiefs at 7-9.
Yeah,
and I just
job.
Looked at it. I'm like, if you could do a do-over.
Yeah, I was saying at the top of the hour, I said, listen, there are a lot of things that we are pleasant surprises, right? Just from a standpoint, whether you are getting beat by them is one other thing. But the pleasant surprise of Patrick Mahomes, right? Played one game last year, looked pretty good. I didn't see this coming from that Kansas City offense, as good as he is. Okay, that's a pleasant surprise. The Rams, we figure, would be good. But, 7-0, best in the league, good? Maybe. All right. But the Houston Texans were, if they're healthy, this is what they're going to deliver. This is what they're going to look like. This is what this kid does. He throws a lot of touchdowns. He moves with his legs. He's fun and he's entertaining. Well, that didn't look that way at the beginning of the season, and now it looks that way now. And I'm glad that that's back, and I'm glad that that's coming to fruition, because last night's game was really fun. If you're a Dolphins fan, sorry, but last night's game was fun. I mean, Joe Buck even said it. Brock Osweiler didn't play all that bad, but Deshaun Watson was just much better. And Lamar Miller ran. I mean, they had the passing game going and the running game going, and the defense was good. This fun team to watch, man. That was good last night. Getting a lot of good primetime games. I don't think next week's is going to be a prime day. Did you see them trying to promote the Thursday night affair next week between San Francisco and Oakland? Just
come on,
quit.
I'm gonna try to hype it up. There's give me a second. I got this.
Maybe the Google executives will be there.
I can't wait to see Amari. No, not Amari.
No. Khalil Mack. No. Can't do that. Oh, Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh shoot, I can't do that.
David Carr.
Just speculating. David Carr. Derek Carr, man. Derek Carr is...
Can't wait to watch Beast Mode run all over him.
By the way, yeah, exactly. Who is calling out David Carr for toughness? Who is calling out David Carr? What anonymous raider is calling out Derek Carr for toughness? Didn't the guy suffer a broken back? Enough with this.
We had a broken
leg. Enough with this anonymous stuff. And oh yeah, and a broken leg to boot. I'm sorry. He had a double injury in his career. That's right. I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that.
I don't know. I think the problem was... I can't remember. I don't know if it was the four letter or if it was the NFL Network. One of them kept going on and on about they're interviewing a quarterback and saying, talking about, is it all right to cry in football? But what they kept showing was just Derek Carr highlights.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm thinking, did he cry when he broke his leg? I mean, I understand, there's a lot of emotion. We all remember Luke Kuechly. When he got knocked out.
Yeah, it's devastating, man. Come on.
These guys, especially Derek Carr, I would imagine he got teary-eyed when during his MVP campaign, pretty much.
Right, exactly. He was out.
And all of a sudden, it's just like, nope, just throw it out. And then he hasn't been the same ever since.
Yeah, well, leave Derek Carr alone, man. He's putting up with a lot.
Yeah.
He's a team that's bad, a coach that's bad right now.
I just want him to give that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar speech in Airplane.
Oh, right.
You lead this team up and down four quarters a game.
You drag Wilt up and down that court for 48 minutes.
You have your coach take away all your weapons and see what you can do.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So congratulations to Deshaun Watson. Again, running 5 touchdown passes. That bus ride must have been therapeutic. Nice bus ride from Jacksonville to Houston on a short week.
It's like you and I said. I mean, we would love to have a load time like that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there are times, I'm a guy that likes to travel, but I don't like traveling, right? Like I don't like going to airports. I don't like flying. I hate taking off my shoes. I hate sitting in a cramped airplane, like all of those things. But if you give me a private jet, I'll fly every day. If you want to put me on the road, I don't mind road trips. I don't like driving 17 hours, right? I had to go to New Jersey to pick up my wife's car after we moved back to Nashville. I had to fly to New Jersey, went to my cousin's house, got my wife's car, spent the night at a friend's house, and then drove like 15 hours home to Nashville. I hated every second of it. I'm not a big road trip guy. But you give me a chartered bus of my own, I'd be more than happy to take any road trip you want me to.
Not only that, but with a trainer.
Yeah, with a trainer.
So you have someone rubbing you down.
And have any sort of entertainment I want.
Yes.
Satellite TV, computer games, whatever I want to do. I get to relax on a big couch on a bus with my own bathroom. Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah, I'm relaxing.
I'm happy.
I'm happy. So, well done.
And you're most likely put with a driver who, you know, doesn't mind driving 15 hours straight. That's his gig. That's his lot in life.
Exactly.
Like, 15 hours straight, that's nothing.
It doesn't want to tell you his life story for 15 hours.
Yep, he just wants to sit behind the wheel.
Just drive. I'll drive you. Don't worry about it. You relax. You chill. And you know what? You know what you get when you do that? 5 touchdown passes. Well done. And he looked good rolling out, running back and forth, firing on the run. Oh, he should bust every game.
Well, how many quarterbacks are going to do that now?
Yeah, right? Every quarterback in the league is going to put in their contract. I'd like a private bus to take me to the game. I don't want to fly no chartered flight with all you others. I want a private bus with a trainer, where I can watch film on my video and a driver. I want all of that because now I'm a more relaxed, I'm less stressed, and I'm more, you know, chilled. Here's what the Jacksonville Jaguars were going to try to do that with Blake Bortles. They were like, you know what would be really good? We're going to put you in a rowboat to London. We'll see you there. Get going. We'll meet you with you'll be there by Sunday. Don't you worry. You'll get there. It goes pretty fast. I mean, you just keep chugging along. You'll get there in time. Don't worry about it. We'll see you at the game.
And it'll be a great workout. That arm will be stronger than you've ever known before.
Exactly. You'll be good. Don't worry about it. Be like those ships back in like the 1800s, like the Mayflower that took like 3 months to cross the Atlantic. Blake Bortles is just lost at sea. And they're like, well,
sure. You got plenty of time.
You got plenty of time to get to London. Oh, goodness gracious. 800-777-2907, the number if you want to join us on the show today. We'll talk some football coming up this weekend. Oh, some college games coming up. World Series action. We'll get into the World Series coming up next as the series has shifted to Los Angeles. Now that we've had a little bit of time to sort of digest the first two games, sort of that knee-jerk reaction that the Dodgers are done, are we still holding on to that now that we've kind of figured it out? That's next, coming up on SB Nation Radio.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when it comes to safety, there's nothing more important than your vehicle's brakes. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are the exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts and accessories you need at a guaranteed low price. Talking about Thursday Night Football last night, as the Texans roll along, they have won 5 in a row. 5 touchdown passes for Deshaun Watson. And as I said earlier, it's a busy weekend. This is a great time, right? This is a great time of the year because the college football games have real meaning. By the way, the committee is going to have its vote on Tuesday of next week. So we're already at that point where all the speculation, how is the committee going to view? Well, we'll know Tuesday of all these games and how they're going to view certain teams. So we're already at that point. Major League Baseball has got the World Series going on, so we'll have a champion very quickly. NFL games like this last night and games that are coming up are really going to start to shape how we're going to view teams down the stretch. Who's getting into lost seasons? Who's making pushes to win their division, make playoffs? We still got a few more weeks to go on that, but you know what I mean. It's heating up a little bit more. But the World Series going into Game 3 tonight, and it's easy, you know, when you do this show in the morning and you come off a few hours. Right after the World Series, it's very easy to watch Game 2, for example, and say, "Now this thing's over, right? This is either going to be 4 games or 5 games. This is done." Even when they go to Los Angeles, there's just nothing the Dodgers have. In the time since then, right? So we did that overreaction, and now you process a little bit more. Now we've got Game 3 tonight. Walker Buehler going against Rick Porcello. Nate Eovaldi is going to pitch in Game 4 for the Red Sox on Saturday. The Dodgers are going home. there is going to be a different feel, right? A reset button. Is it enough to beat the Red Sox? Is it enough to make this series worth it? I don't think the Dodgers win the series, but is it enough to get this series into some sort of competitiveness? Do I think the Dodgers win a game? Yes. Do I think the Red Sox win the series? Yes. Do I think the Red Sox celebrate in Los Angeles? Okay, that's where I'm thinking. There's going to be three games in L.A. Will the Red Sox be popping the cork in Los Angeles when this is said and done, or is this thing going back to Fenway? I kind of hope we get two games for the Dodgers so it gives a little bit more of an extension.
All I know is that you got me all hyped up from yesterday.
Really?
You know, this Dodger fan is looking back to 86. When we were talking about the 86 Mets and them being
That's
down
right,
2-0
yeah.
against Boston.
Yeah, at home. Yeah,
at home. And we're able to, you know, bring it back. And, you know, we had to have some magic happen for that. Yeah, you got this boy thinking. You got him optimistic, Tony.
Okay, I got a question, though. Does Dave Roberts go, all right, obviously my overmanaging isn't working. I'm just going to put the best lineup I can regardless of the analytics. Or does he go back to doing what he's doing, right? I'm going to load it up with righties against a lefty, or I'm going to load it up with lefties against a righty. I'm just going to play the statistical game. Or does he say, listen, I just want to put the best guys out there and let's see what happens.
See, the problem is I watched as many Dodger games as I could this year. I guess I wasn't paying enough attention to the analytics. Like, is he putting a lineup out there just because, you know, this is what it, you know, the analytics dictate? I don't think so. I think he was putting the best lineup out there, and I don't understand why teams all of a sudden is like, well, we got to overthink this now.
Yeah.
Let's not do what worked for us all season long. Let's change it up a little bit.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's got guys on the plate based on the sort of the righty-lefty advantage. He's got guys in the dugout that aren't playing that, you know, have been playing pretty well. I'm not a baseball manager. I've been to a lot of baseball games. I've talked to a lot of baseball managers. You know, when I covered the Rockies, I was part of a crew that we did stories and did like wire reports and stuff like that. It was kind of a freelance gig. And I did about 30 Rockies games a year for about 6 years. And I got the visiting clubhouse assignment. So I would go into the visitor's locker room. I'd get all the visitor's quotes. And then I traded quotes with another writer from the Rockies locker room. So I didn't talk to the same people. And I always was blessed by that because I got to talk to different managers and I got to hear from different managers different things, which was kind of cool, like Tony La Russa and guys like that that was coming in and out. And, you know, sometimes the way they talked about a game, I'll be honest with you, as a guy that has been to a lot of baseball games and has been a baseball fan my whole life, if you talk to a really good manager, some of this stuff just flies over my head. Some of this stuff is just, I don't know how to process all that, like how they think, how they process every single at bat, how they look at every player, where in the lineup they're supposed to be. Like apparently moving a guy from 5 to 6 is a big deal, right? I mean, it's a very weird mindset as a manager because you really are managing. You're not coaching. You're really managing. You've got this pool of talent, and then the pool of talent that you have is advantageous in some situations, has a disadvantage in some situations, and you've got to process all of that. Who's hot, who's not, where in the lineup they should be. And it's difficult. But when you get to the postseason, all I was doing was regular season games in July kind of stuff. When you get to the postseason, this stuff is on a magnification level of 1,000. And all of a sudden now, things you might have done in the regular season that sort of got overlooked that you wouldn't notice if you weren't looking, all of a sudden becomes times a million and everybody notices it. So was Dave Roberts doing that, like you said? I don't know. I have no idea. Sometimes in a regular season, you're like, well, I don't have time to get into, I'm not going to make a game in July against the Padres 4.5 hours by making 25 pitching changes, right? I can't do that. I got to save arms. In this situation, I don't have to save arms. So I'll bring in a pitcher, bring in this pitcher.
It becomes overanalyzing. That's being stupid. I guarantee the Milwaukee Brewers didn't during the regular season go, you know what will work today? Let's not have a closer or let's not have a starter.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just go with our, we'll call it an opener. I guarantee every single game they weren't sitting there going, you know what, let's bring in this guy from the bullpen. He'll pitch an inning. Then we'll bring this guy in. We're going to run 9 different pitchers. Plan ahead. We're going to have 9 different pitchers playing today.
Yeah, and imagine how many injuries you would get if guys, I mean, guys just pitching an inning every day with some, a whole staff of that. I mean, there are guys who train their bodies to do that. You're going to do that for everybody? No, you're not. You're going to pitch guys six innings. Sometimes you're going to put them in a little longer. Right. Postseason, though, it all gets thrown out the window. If I'm the Dodgers, there's a part of me that if I'm the Dodgers, I need something to just get me to play baseball. Not to overthink. Just go out and play baseball. And if you win, you win. You lose, you lose. But just play relaxed baseball. And maybe at home is what they do. Because, look, this isn't an overmatched Dodgers team, okay? This is a very good Dodgers team. They've got power. They hit home runs. They've got guys in the lineup that can hurt you. They're just not hurting yet. They're not hurting them yet. But there's no way that you could convince me that Nate Eovaldi, as good as he's pitching in the postseason, is going to mow down this lineup just because he's Nate Eovaldi. He's not Justin Verlander, for crying out loud. I'm hoping the Dodgers get a game or two. I want to see this to be a little bit more of a competitive series. I think it can. The Dodgers need the one thing the Red Sox have. They need the ability with two outs or whatever situation to put up a big crooked number on the board. They haven't really done that yet. SB Nation Radio.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingnap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingnap.com today. Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And on the sidelines, when you could be getting paid to play, the NBA season is back. No better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NFL, NCAA football, Major League Baseball, World Series, UFC, NBA, and more. If you're one-stop shop for everything, along with super quick payouts and bonuses, BetDSI's live features allow you to watch your team before you even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. Play big, win big, and get paid anytime. And now you can get a 100% bonus when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code. You can get an extra 25%. So that's 125% bonus. So you're going to get the 100% bonus, and then you're going to sign up and use the promo code, and then you'll get an extra 25%. So 125% bonus on your first deposit. Join the winning team, sign on to BetDSI.com, and use the promo code WIN125. It's easy. WIN125. You'll more than double your bet. Don't leave money on the table. Log on to BetDSI.com and use the code WIN125. BETDSI.com and use that code WIN125. So I'm getting ready for a really cool weekend. I'm feeling pretty good about the week. I'm liking the games that are coming up this weekend, excited about the World Series. And then Ron goes, hey, I just sent you a video. Check it out. Skynet is here. And I'm like, okay, why would I click on this to change my mood for the weekend? And I'm watching this robot jumping on blocks and doing backflips as if it's a human dressed in a robot costume. Why did you do that to me? Now I'm petrified.
Yeah, because I need to make you aware.
It's coming.
It's coming. Skynet is alive.
Why would somebody invent this?
What's the purpose?
Why
besides,
would somebody invent
total
this?
Global domination?
Unless they're building an army of this to take over.
Yeah,
remember Elon Musk said...
They don't build one. They never build just one.
No. They ain't building one.
And then as soon as this robot realizes I can think for myself...
Oh, yes.
He'll start training all his robot buddies.
Do you remember the two AI computers that created their own language as quickly as possible to talk to each other? And everyone's like, pull the plug! Oh, my God!
No, I don't.
You got to look that up.
That makes me worry,
too. Yeah, look that up. They had two AI machines, two different AI machines, try to communicate with each other, and they couldn't. So they just did what normal people would do, I guess. Just create your own language immediately, and they both understood it. Yep, it's coming.
It's coming.
Elon Musk, who's like the smartest guy on the planet, he's a little quirky, but he's like super smart. He's petrified of AI. If he's petrified of AI, I should be mortified by it. Are you kidding? It should keep me up at night.
He's our John Connor right now.
Yeah. And at least Elon Musk could build himself a spaceship and get out of the apocalypse, robot apocalypse. I can't do that. I have to become their, you know, I have to become their little, slave population. I can't go anywhere.
Do you think when the apocalypse happens, Elon Musk just takes off for the moon, sits on a beach chair and watches from the moon?
Yeah, I think he just goes, I told people.
Eating popcorn, just going, yeah, told you this was going to happen.
In all seriousness, though, this is one of the reasons Elon Musk was afraid of AI. And he made this example. He said, look, the problem with AI, and I'm paraphrasing here. I don't have the exact quote, so I'm just paraphrasing kind of the way he put it. The problem with AI is it doesn't have any moral. There's no morals attached to its decision making. So let's say you tell AI, you know, I'm really getting sick and tired of getting spam email. I need you to stop. I want you to stop spam email. So the AI will say, okay, what can we do to stop spam email? Well, we can do this, and we can do this, and I can flag this. It eventually would get to the point, and this is where Elon Musk was scared. He said eventually would get to the point that it would kill the people who sent you the spam email. Like, it doesn't have any moral, there's no moral equation.
Boy, did that escalate quickly.
Right. So instead of creating like an algorithm, if that didn't work or if it was still a problem, it would just go down a list of all the possible ways you could not get spam email. And the bottom answer is, well, just eliminate the people that are sending you the spam email and you won't get the spam. But it doesn't process that would be a horrible thing to do. It just would do it. It would just say, well, let's just do that. And that's the terrifying thing. That's the really terrifying thing.
And that's how Judgment Day starts.
Yeah, but think about how you could get rid of political opposition with AI. You could get their computers flooded with all sorts of illegal stuff. You could send a computer all sorts of top secret documents or different kind of illegal pornography or whatever it could. You could thwart a political opponent using AI. This is scary stuff.
You're saying, Tony, is that you can use theoretically social media to thwart political opponents?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
I mean, what crazy talk is that?
No, this is nuts. But this video you sent me of the robot, my first reaction to it was that it was a human dressed up in a robot costume? And you said, no, that's an actual robot.
Here's the thing. If they made it like a cute little tiny robot, I'm fine. You know what? I mean,
vacuum your floor.
If that was to come, if those were the type of robots that decided to take over the planet, you know, we just step on them. We just drop kick them. You know, we all put on our best one-bar helmet. And, you know, field goal these guys all over the place. But this thing looks like it's at least 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 5'5" at best. And you know what? Those type of robots, that's what takes over the world.
And here's the deal. It looks indestructible.
Yeah, you just give him a gun, we're done.
We're not going to. It's like, do you have an Alexa or anything like that in your house?
I do.
Yeah.
We have both. They haven't really met yet. No, we have a Siri, a home Siri, and we have the Alexa Echo. They haven't met yet.
Oh, okay. Don't let them meet, because then they're just going to take over.
Probably.
Yeah. Don't let them.
But meet. I haven't had the random talk from Alexa, where she's laughing in the middle of the night. I haven't had that happen to me.
No, not yet. But I had Alexa would come on at certain times. Where I freaked out. Like, I just randomly would just come on, and I'm like, I don't remember asking you a thing, but
yes.
I was too afraid to talk
back
to it.
We've had that with our Siri home thing, and it's not that old. We were just sitting there in the kitchen one day, and all of a sudden it decided then to play a song. And we're like, whoa.
No, we didn't
say hello. Because with Siri, you have to go, hey, Siri, which is so stupid. I don't. Why do I have to address it as a person? That's what scares me.
No, it's
can't it I just say computer?
No, they're training you to be, you know,
to
make
respect
them the overlords. Yeah,
they're training us to respect electronics.
Because when they take over your life, that's how you're going to ask for food and life items. May I eat today, Siri?
Hey Siri,
please?
May I have more?
Yes. Hey Siri, can I have my medication today, please? Please open up the medicine cabinet. That's the world we're going to live in. In fact, I'm thinking about writing a book just to warn people. Oh, goodness gracious.
Now forget about the zombie apocalypse. You know, zombie.
No.
I mean, you know what?
Those zombie apocalypse
we
robots,
could take
though.
On zombies. I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's always going to start with patient zero. That's what they always say. Patient zero is the first zombie.
Right.
And then it just, you know, patient zero is able to find a way to multiply. Just kill patient zero. Robots, on the other hand, man, that's a whole different beast because it's not just the robot. All of a sudden, it's in wires. You don't know where it is. It's all electronics, and it's just deciding what to do, where to do it. I mean, you could be attacking a factory in Houston, but this thing has already sent its brain to Minnesota, and you have no clue.
And the other scary thing is when AI gets so advanced that it starts creating other AI. Like when it just says, oh, these humans aren't even, I mean, they're so dumb. I can't communicate with them. I need a partner. And it just starts creating other AI. And then that AI spawns other. It's going to be a mess.
What if James Cameron isn't making movies that are like fantasy? What if he's like, you know, from the future preparing us, but can't say it because, you know, then we'll think of him as a kook.
Let me ask this. Let's go back to sports for a second. If you had a player.
Worried about AI.
If you had a player that was a great athlete, but he was missing an arm, like he lost an arm, and you had a robotic arm, like $6 million man arm, could that be legal? Like, could you see a day where that would be legal? When robotics gets really, really good?
Yeah, possibly, just because then it would be discrimination if you didn't allow it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, you can't have someone out there with the claw. You know, let's be real. That claw is going to do some damage. But, you know, if you have something where it's a prosthetic arm.
Right, but it's robotic.
What's to say, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you tweak it a little bit and make it a little stronger than it needs to be.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Like, he's able to... You know, say it's a full arm and it's a right arm or a left arm. It doesn't really matter, but it's a quarterback's arm. And you have, you know, it's there. You can tell it looks like a normal arm, but there's robotics inside of it. And he can chuck the ball 80 yards in the air.
Yeah, because I'm not, again, don't imagine this being like a like Cyborg from the DC universe. Where
that's what I'm imagining.
Thing.
I'm imagining Cyborg.
Right. Imagine an arm that looks exactly like an arm, but kind of like Luke Skywalker, where it just like the flesh opens up and it's a bunch of wires and you just close it up. That kind of, when that becomes available, when they attach that system to your arm, could that be, would NFL, Major League Baseball, whatever, would they have to be, ooh, we have to really look into this.
Or
we have to
better
find out what's going to happen.
What if we have, you know, what if, like, say 10 years down the road, we have like a Biff Tanner situation with, you know, he has robotic implants.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Wow.
You know, that makes him just grow a little bit taller, makes him a little faster, stronger.
Oh, goodness.
What would the NFL do then?
That's
coming. Forget
in
the steroid
years.
Era. I think, you know, if that happens, baseball becomes the number one sport.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that'll be kind of cool. Baseball be back.
Because then all of a sudden you have pitchers throwing 150. You got batters just swinging the ball. And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to have to build bigger stadiums now to handle these batters. Make them cricket-sized stadiums.
God, speaking of $6 million, man, that seems very, very old now, doesn't it? Bionic Man was $6 million.
Yeah, you know what, though? Really? But that seems very affordable.
That now seems very affordable. Exactly. Like, really? I could change my whole sort of athletic output and brain power with $6 million?
Put it on a credit card.
Slap that thing on a card and, you know, put me under the anesthesia quick. Give me the robotic eye where I can zoom in telescopically.
And need to split it between three cards? No problem.
No, I got it.
I'll be out of debt in a week.
So AI is going to kill us all. So while we're at it, while we're just enjoying life until the inevitable, enjoy sports.
Don't worry, Dodger fan. If you can't come back, AI will take care of you.
AI will take care of you. Exactly.
The Terminator. It's real. It's out there. And we just saw him do backflips.
Exactly. Oh, this is such a scary video. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D and Ron Culver, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation Radio as we continue along on a Friday.
Okay, I'm now really petrified because
you saw another robot.
No, I had you watch a scary video, and then I took your advice and I watched a video you suggested, which is two robots making up their own language.
Yes.
Dude, that is not okay.
That is not okay at all.
Oh, my God.
Think about just process that, like, in a way, like, where you just stop and you really think about what just happened. So there was an AI computer and another AI computer, and then the humans went, wouldn't it be cool if they could talk to each other? And then there was like, oh, we can't.
No, but did you?
They can't.
Okay,
and then the computers went, stop, humans, we got this.
But what worries me, did you see the company that was doing this?
No.
It was Facebook.
Was it really?
Mark Zuckerberg decided, like, you know, let's have these two robots talk to each other. And at first, I was watching the video, and they said at first they thought it was gibberish, and then they realized that no, they were inventing their own language. God. And the video says artificial intelligence emergency, and then it says Mark Zuckerberg's face, like, we had to shut it down. I'm like, oh my God,
pull the plug.
Like, my Facebook, God. You haven't been doing a really good job just, like, with regular technology, just keeping our information private. Now you're just making robots. You guys are the catalyst. They're what was the guy's name who founded Skynet?
Oh, yeah, the guy in the – yeah, exactly.
The guy that they tried to murder, like, 500 times and could never murder him?
Couldn't do it.
Like Dyson or something like that?
Yeah. Boy, Mark Zuckerberg's come a long way from a – chicks that are hot at Harvard site. That's all it was. That's all it was supposed to do, was just to rate chicks' hotness in Harvard. And instead he created AIs that talk to each other in their own language. It's going to kill us all.
Yeah, and they're going to, and you know what? They're going to, you think you killed it? You didn't kill it.
No.
You didn't kill it. You just shut it down for a second.
No, it's sleeping. Right?
It's still alive.
It'll figure it out.
And it's sitting there looking like, oh, you know what? Let's go jump into this computer's brain because they just invented a robot that can do jumps and backflips.
Yeah, let's go take a look at that system.
Yeah, we got a ninja robot over here. Put my brain in that ninja robot and take over the world.
Oh my goodness. I used to always think, like, there's no way, right? We control AI. And then the more I've been talking about it, the more I realize that, no, that's not true at all.
God, I remember as a kid. I remember getting a robot. It was like a part of a remote control, and they were calling it a robot. It's like, no, this is just a fancy remote control car.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Now if I get a robot, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, like I wanted Rosie from the Jetsons, like that would make stuff and, you know, do stuff around the house and clean. And
make you a sandwich.
Like, no threat whatsoever. Now, if you told me that I could have a robot cleaning person in my house that would cook and clean, no chance. It would kill me. No chance.